Our text for this morning is Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. That passage will be on the screen here, but you might want to open your Bibles up or find it on your mobile device. Philippians 1, 3 through 8. Paul writes to the church in Philippi there, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus." Imagine for a moment that there is a man who is living in Philippi. He's a former military member. Many people who lived in Philippi were part of the Roman army, and once they were finished with service, they lived in Philippi, which was a Roman colony. So there was this man. He had a family. He was just living everyday life, doing what any person in Philippi at that time would do. There was another man who, at the same time that this man in Philippi was living, there was another man, and this would have been around 49 to 52 AD, there was another man who was receiving a vision from God. The vision that he received was a man of Macedonia who said, "Come to Macedonia and preach the good news of Jesus Christ." And that man, a man named Paul, listened to God. He received that vision and obeyed it, and then he went on to Philippi, which is the main city of that district of Macedonia. So he goes to Philippi, Paul, and he begins preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. And during that time, the other man, the former military member, hears Paul preach the good news of Jesus Christ. And he gives his life over to God and begins living with him. And now you have this one man, a former Jew, a convert to Christianity named Paul, who's preaching the gospel. And you have this other man, a former military member of the Roman army. You now have these two that lived worlds apart. Their life was vastly different, but now it is much the same. They are now brothers in Christ. They are now partners in the gospel. Imagine that this man became a part of the church that met there in Philippi. He prayed with these people. He shared life with these people. He found and was reminded of his identity and mission from these people. He found himself in a new community. And more than that, this man who once didn't know Jesus, who now knows Jesus, knows the hope that comes in Jesus Christ. He understands what salvation and righteousness is all about. Because this man, Paul, obeyed that Macedonian call and went to that place, this other man who didn't know Jesus now knows Jesus, and his life is never the same from that point forward. So Paul is communicating with this church, and he says, "I thank my God every time I remember you." Paul loved these folks. "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy." That word joy or rejoicing is going to come up numerous times in this letter. As a matter of fact, many call this the epistle of joy. "Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." That's another beautiful promise from God, that God is going to be doing his transformative work in the hearts of those who have obeyed Jesus Christ and chosen to see Jesus as Lord. So Paul uses this word partnership in this passage. And sometimes in the New International Version and the New American Standard, it's translated as fellowship. It's the word koinonia. Many of you are part of the koinonia group at this congregation. It means fellowship. It means partnership. It means sharing life with one another. And it's this deep bond that people have with one another. Paul uses this language numerous times to talk about the partnership that people enjoy in Christ Jesus, sharing life together. Paul, for so long, didn't know any of these people in Philippi. He never stepped foot in Philippi for so long. But he goes and preaches the gospel, the people receive it, and now Paul uses this kind of language to talk about the relationship that he experienced with these folks. We're partners together. We share life together. We have a deep bond in Jesus Christ. Verses 7 and 8, notice the partnership, the sharing life language in these verses. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. It is as if we are one. Whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. We are partners in God's grace. We understand the power of God's grace. We understand that God's grace is at the foundation of our hope and our salvation. Verse 8, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Paul felt a deep bond with you. The language here is so powerful. I have you in my heart. We share in God's grace together, and I long for all of you with the affection of Jesus Christ. In Scripture, community language or imagery is used often to talk about the Christian community. So you've got in 1 Corinthians 12, and we're not going to read the passage this morning, but a passage that we likely know well. If you've spent time in church, you know this. If you haven't spent much time in church, this might be new to you. But in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about the Christian community being a body. There's that deep of a connection, the body of Christ living and acting together, just as a body does. Other language that is used for the community of faith is ecclesia, or church, sometimes translated as assembly. So this term literally means called out of. And in that day and age, the word ecclesia was used to talk about those who were partaking in civil affairs. They were called out of the community in order to work on behalf of the community. So the language we see here in the New Testament for ecclesia is called out of, but it's a sense of being called out of the world for the sake of the gospel. You're called out as an assembly, as a group of people, not as individuals, but as a body, as an assembly. And then, of course, you have the language family of faith. First of all, throughout the New Testament, whether it's Paul or Peter or James, when talking to other Christians, language is so often used, brothers and sisters. You see that all over, and we use that language even today, and I think that's really good to remind us of the bond that we have in Jesus Christ. Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. That language is used all over. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, it talks about the family of faith connected to one another. And we think about the importance of our baptism, thinking about how Jesus talked about it in John chapter 3, a new birth that we experience. And that new birth, first of all, it orients us in a relationship to God that He is Father, and we are child, we are son, or we are daughter. But it also connects us or orients us to other Christians, brothers and sisters. Using the language that Whit used earlier, we have this blood of Christ that flows through us and not only connects us to Jesus Christ, but connects us to the others that have that blood flowing through them as well. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul says, I'm so thankful for the partnership that we have in the gospel. Sure, I may be miles away and in prison right now, but yet we still are sharing life together because of the common bond that we have from God. We think about the power of partnership. Perhaps you've spent time on a team working toward a common goal. Perhaps within your place of work, you are working together for some sort of common goal, striving to do something. You understand, maybe it's an organization, or perhaps you've participated in the military. You understand the power of working together, getting things done, working for a common purpose and a mission. Two are better than one. Three are better than one. Four, better than one. And our God is a relational God, continually calling people to live in relationship with one another. So it's football season. You're going to have to forgive me, but I'm going to use an illustration from football. And it's the movie Rudy, right? I know a lot of you have seen Rudy, and guys, I know some of you have cried while watching that movie. Just admit it, right? I did, kind of. Not kind of, I did a lot. Every time I watch it. But you see the power of team here. First of all, Rudy is this guy that, against all odds, finds himself playing for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. He's too small. The odds are just stacked against him, but he finds himself in the final game of the season when Notre Dame is playing Georgia Tech. He finds himself with a uniform on, ready to go in the game. Of course, the coach doesn't necessarily think about putting him in the game. It's not really on his radar. Rudy has just been part of the practice squad. Not a big deal to them, even though Notre Dame is winning by a considerable margin. But one of Rudy's teammates, I hope I'm not, this movie is so old, I'm not giving this away, I hope. If you haven't seen it yet, you're not going to. But it's the end of the game, and Rudy's just standing there on the sidelines, and some of his teammates, they start clapping and they start saying, "Rudy," right? "Rudy, Rudy, Rudy." They start doing this, all the teammates on the sidelines, and then the crowd picks up on the chant, and so all of those that are in the stadium that day, they start chanting "Rudy" as well. And this message gets back to the coach. The coach hears it, and he ends up putting Rudy in the game. And the final play of the game, Rudy makes a sack of the quarterback, and he's carried off the field on the shoulders of his teammates. The power of team. One man started saying, "Rudy, Rudy," and all of a sudden, thousands of people are chanting the name of Rudy, and it makes all the difference in Rudy's life. And so we have a partnership. We work together with our missionaries. They live in Chile. They live in the Philippines. They live in Africa. They live in Mexico. They live in all of these places. But we're partners. We share life together. We are in this together, this mission of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with all people. And so last week we announced that we were having Mission Sunday today, and we talked about those missionaries that we support on an ongoing basis, and then those we support through what is given on Mission Sunday. If you remember the pamphlet that we gave out last week, it was the names that were listed on the back. Those are the ones that we support on a just what we give on Mission Sunday. The missions committee has set a goal of $34,500 to give to these different folks and organizations. So I want to make a note about some of these that are listed on the screen right now. First of all, Vinny and Rachel Montestioka, we know them well. They're a part of us. We see them on a regular basis. At least a percentage of what is how we support them comes through what we give today. And we are certainly partners in the gospel with Vinny and Rachel. The special mission opportunities, for one, if God has put it on your heart to go do mission work, please communicate with the missions committee here so that they can support you in the work that you want to do. Of course, every other year, our youth ministry takes a trip to Honduras. World Bible School is a ministry that we have supported for years. Linda Benskin has mentioned to me before that a good idea of reminding folks that this is a great, rather easy way to share the good news of Jesus with others. And so if you are looking for ways to participate and sharing the good news, consider helping with World Bible School. We have several folks here that you can talk to about that, including Bill Zimmerman and Linda Ravel. They will get you plugged into that important ministry. Mission support visits. What that means is going to, sending folks from this congregation to our mission points to encourage and support our missionaries and just show them our love for them. There is money that is set aside to do those support visits. Derek Brown, who is in Jamaica, I was talking to BW last week about his trips to Jamaica to spend time with Derek, doing incredible work for the gospel in Jamaica. And if you're thinking about a trip, Jamaica. So anyway, that was supposed to be funny, but so Eastern European missions, another just long-standing work in that part of the world. And then the next one, I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but Adam and Judy Sandoval do a lot of work with them. We do send them support. I know they have been several times to that H word there. Oh, there's two Mexico. Uishuayan. Pretty close. And then Leon, Mexico. And then the Church of Christ Disaster Relief effort. Many of you are familiar with that work. When there is some sort of disaster, they go and they send supplies and provide care for folks who have been affected by different disasters. And then this SIBI solar event. I had to get online to learn about this. This is really powerful. So these small devices about the size of a smartphone have been created that work on solar power. And what folks have done is they have put the entire audio Bible on these devices along with many World Bible School lessons so that folks can listen to the Bible and solid biblical teaching as well. SIBI, which is Sunset International Bible Institute, has already delivered 2,000 of these devices in several African nations, and they plan throughout the next year to deliver more of these devices to folks who need to hear the gospel. You can get on their website and look at the work that they are doing. So really a great effort. So we are partners with these folks and then those other folks that we mentioned last week, just as Paul saw his relationship with the church in Philippi as a partnership. What this means is that their success is our success. Their struggles are our struggles. When they rejoice, we rejoice. When they mourn, we mourn. We are contending as one person in the faith. They are our brothers and sisters with a mission of sharing the good news around the world. So would the men that are going to be passing the trays, would they go ahead and come up here to the front? We'll go ahead and get ready, and then we're going to have a prayer here in just a moment. Pray together. Father, we recognize that all we have is from you. Our lives, our possessions, our mission, our hope, our future, it's in your hands. And Father, we are so thankful that we can be partners in the gospel, that we share life with our brothers and sisters here, but we also have the grace of sharing life with those who are in other parts of the world, sharing the good news of Jesus. We pray for all of our missionaries. We pray that you will give them strength, perseverance and wisdom as they do the important work that they're doing. And Father, I pray that as a congregation here, we can convict us, Father. Help us to be mindful of ways that we can support them as they are in a way in the front lines of spreading the message of Jesus around the world. I pray, Father, that as we give today so that we can support them and care for them in this financial way, I pray that you open our hearts to give generously and cheerfully, understanding that what we are giving is one way in which people can do the important work of telling others about the salvation that comes through your Son. So help us today, Father, to give in a way that brings you glory and honor. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Speaking of preaching the gospel, some call what we read in Acts chapter 2 as the first gospel message. It was preached by Peter, and it was powerful, and it was convicting. I want to go ahead and read just the end of this section of Scripture in Acts chapter 2. This is starting at verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. That's Peter preaching. Verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." So Peter preached about Jesus, and it was convicting. The people said, "What shall we do?" And Peter says, "Repent and be baptized. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and the forgiveness that comes from God." So that's our message for each of you here today as well. For some, perhaps you haven't been cut to the heart. Perhaps you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ in baptism. Perhaps today is the day. Here in a moment, Alan is going to lead us in another song as we continue our time of worship. And if you are ready to put Jesus on in baptism, you can come down here to the front, and we will be so glad to assist you in baptism and witness you make that incredible confession and decision. If there's anybody here this morning that desires the prayers of the ecclesia, the assembly, we'd be so glad to pray with you or for you. We are in a partnership together. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and continue to worship our God.